All right, folks, get your finger out and pit your football knowledge against Team OTB to win big. There's €2,500 for the winner of the OTB Final One Standing League on the William Hill app. Guaranteed winner, and it's exclusive to our own league. Just sign up at William Hill Final One Standing. Use the code OFFTHEBALL, that's all one word and all caps, and make sure you sign up before Friday the 15th at 8 o'clock when the new season kicks off. €2,500 to the winner, guaranteed.
The Racing Pod on Off the Ball with William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
And you are welcome to episode 89 of the Racing Pod on Off the Ball with John Duggan and Johnny Ward. Remember, we're here every week with analysis, race previews, interviews, stories, tips, bit of crack. We've also got news for you. The Racing Pod, the full version, the entirety of the pod is now free wherever you get your pods. Johnny, how is the form?
Form is good, JD. Yeah, enjoying the nice weather. I was at the launch for Champions Weekend at the Leinster two nights ago, which was an interesting occasion because there were a lot of people that may or may not have an interest in racing, but they were there anyway. And it was just an interesting way to market the festival because you had like Vogue Williams and her husband Spencer, and Hector was presented, Hector O'Huckagon, and other kind of celebrities as well. And the odd racing personality, Aidan O'Brien, Joseph O'Brien, Jessica Harrington, Ronan Whelan, Aidan McGuinness were there. And it'll be intriguing to see. Like, I was kind of thinking about this, like, what is the value of marketing this festival when there's such a limit on how many people will go? Like, in terms of, they really, you know, even if they got a full crowd, it's still only a few thousand people. But it was a nice occasion. The Leinster was lovely. It was nice to market it. And I think they, you know, this is, I suppose, the way these, wasn't there controversy where HRI were paying people to, as influencers in Cheltenham and stuff like that. It was kind of like, why are you paying somebody when it's not an Irish race meeting? But it's part of the brand of the influencer now. He or she has so much power and scope that racing is trying to get in on it. And I presume that's kind of why Vogue was there. But she actually does like racing as well. And it was a good promotion of a weekend I feel is phenomenal. I really feel Leopardstown need to max out their crowd on the Saturday this year, because if they can't sell that, I don't know what they're going to sell.
The flash, though, is maybe the general issue.
Yeah, but... Like, so funny enough, where the event took place, like, you're up on the fifth floor, so you can see a lot of Dublin in the balcony. And like, I was thinking of this, like, Leopardstown has all of this. Like, it has all of this at its you know, on the doorstep, the relative doorstep. It needs to sell.
Doesn't struggle at Christmas, though.
At Christmas, no. Those crowds are good. Like, they're proper National Hunt crowds, and it's kind of a historical thing and a traditional thing to do that. But I've been very disappointed in the loss of the summer evenings. The Leopardstown summer evenings have become a thing of nothing, really. Really dead. Bookmakers are doing no business. The racing starting much earlier than ideal. And I feel Leopardstown, which is under new kind of stewardship now, needs to get the crowds back.
And we have York next week as well, obviously, with some great Group 1 races. You were at York earlier this year?
Yeah, it's funny you say that now, because that day I was at York, I think it was a Friday. It was really, really average racing. And I think there were 7,000 or 8,000 people there. And this was a day meeting on a Friday, which is really striking to me. And I couldn't but compare it to Leopardstown at the time. Like, the Dublin racetrack, the one nearest to me, couldn't dream of this sort of a crowd. Only really once a year on the flat. But, York is a terrific town. I was even looking up the name, the Ebor. The Ebor comes from a shortening of the old, I think, Roman name for York. So it has, the race itself is nearly 200 years old, has a lot of history. And York is a fantastic place to visit. I haven't been there since Frankel won all those years ago, winning the race we'll talk about in the show. But I went back to the city there for work a few weeks ago and loved it. Like, so much history, and a cracking racetrack as well, and very friendly atmosphere, and kind of a tiered system where you can go in on the infield, bring in your own drink for a nominal amount, and sit out and have picnics and all that. And big Irish entry next week. Like, there's even a sprint with, I think, the top three in the betting are Irish trained, which is incredible.
When you talk about it being a cracking track, why is it a cracking track? Fair.
It's fair, yeah. And I suppose it's slight, I'm probably being a little bit biased, because I was in a box with Racing TV on the day, and the Racing TV box has a fantastic view of the racetrack. But it is a fair track. You have a big, big, long straight. And it was kind of more so just the atmosphere in the place. It really felt like a throwback, where racing was a big deal. And maybe it's an English thing, but it's a really good location. York is kind of, I suppose, the capital of the north when it comes to flat racing. And it's a very fair track, and you'll see like Willie Mullins deliberately targeting the Ebor with a luckless horse in the race last year. It shows how much the race has meant. And Aidan O'Brien, who I actually, off the top of my head, felt he's probably never won the Ebor. He has won it once, going back there with an interesting
Mediterranean, runner.
Mediterranean,
I think.
Mediterranean, 2001. Yeah. And it's funny, I ended up looking him up today, and he went on to win the Ledger, and then he was pulled up injured in his last race and was never seen again. And I'm not sure actually what happened to him, and I don't know if you, I'd say if you asked Aidan, he mightn't remember. He's had so many horses.
Aidan
go
remember.
I don't know. He's kind of
Aidan knows everything.
Yeah, he was very helpful at the launch now the other day, and in great form, and talking about, you know, the 2-year-olds that he has and the exciting 3-year-olds fillies.
Is
he
there
has
City of Troy was, around there? No.
City of Troy
type. Is there a new star coming through?
I didn't ask him about that necessarily, but between Gestad and Charles Darwin and Isaac Newton and all of these, I'm sure there is. Gestad obviously missed the Curra last week, but the 2 3-year-olds, Whirl and Mini Hawk, are extremely exciting to follow. One at York, I think.
So that is actually York. We'll just maybe talk about York, a little bit in advance of the Ebor meeting, which starts next Wednesday. So the Judman International next Wednesday, the Group 1, a mile and two. Delacroix, Ombudsman, Danon DeSeal, the Japanese Derby winner of last year. Darius might not run in this, but these are all top horses, whoever turns up.
Yeah, I was looking at this race today, JD, and I was like, surely, with all of the riches they have, Godolphin aren't going to leave this race at the risk of being a crawl again. And that was, for me, what sort of probably did Ombudsman when he was beaten by Delacroix the last day in the Eclipse, where we spoke about this before the race, that it wasn't a big field. And the way that Ombudsman won at Royal Ascot, it was potentially a problem for him. And it ended up being a weird race then tactically, where Delacroix, I presume, was kind of going to make the running or thereabouts, but he did nothing of the sort. And Aidan O'Brien was really, really gushing about the achievement of where he came from. He said it was extraordinary, the pace he showed when I spoke to him the other day. But I was looking at this tomorrow, I said, where's the Godolphin pacemaker? And lo and behold, then on the Racing Post, they've supplemented Burr Castle. And Burr Castle is an intriguing one for me, because I've never been to Burr Castle, but this horse was bred by a Frenchman, is owned by Godolphin. As far as I can see, he's never been in Ireland in his life. So I don't know how he's called Burr Castle. And there must be some story behind it. Like, he was named, he's no Irish pedigree, no Irish history in him whatsoever. But he's been supplemented to make the pace. He's actually not a bad horse. But it now means that Ombudsman, who's available at a top price 9-4 with William Hill, won't have that excuse, you'd imagine.
And we have the Shima Classic winner Danon DeSeal, not been seen since April, but I expect he will run. I'm not so sure if Darius, the unbeaten horse from France, will run.
Both are going to run. Darius did a bit of work, I don't know if it was this morning or yesterday morning, and connections say he's going to run, and he beat Bay City Roller at Saint-Cloud the last day. That form wouldn't be nearly good enough to win this, but it was interesting to listen to some of the connections that were saying, like, maybe even at this stage of his life, it's a bit early for him. But I love the fact that they're taking a chance. Like, we need runners in these races. We have a 2-year-old running in the Nunthorpe that we'll talk about as well, which is fascinating. And sometimes you want more horses to take a chance. But by all accounts, the Danon DeSeal, the Japanese horse, and the unbeaten French 3-year-old, it really, really adds so much to the race.
Yeah, we're cracking race now. The Yorkshire Oaks on the Thursday, I mean, we're looking a little bit out here, folks, but Mini Hawk is the standard bearer after wins in the Epsom and Irish Oaks. Whirl was pipped by Mini Hawk at Epsom. She then won at the Curra in Goodwood. She's gone the right way. Estrange, distance winner over Haydock twice this year, the latest in a Group 2. They might not all turn up, but at the moment is looking decent.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to know. I had to take two glances at this when I saw it was sponsored by Per Tim's Network, which just reminds you of staying handicaps at Cheltenham over hurdles.
Yeah, but you don't ever get the winner. I don't think I've ever had the winner.
No, it's kind of, it's almost like one of those races you've already beaten yourself before you even start looking at it. Mini Hawk, Aidan was interesting about talking about her, about the edge that she has the other day. He was talking about, and she said she has a bit of Dan Seeley in her. She has like this Frankel out of a Dan Seeley mare, but she has this kind of like edge, will to win, but at the same time, she doesn't win by very far. And at the Curra the last day, she was sort of workman like, but I think, you know, when you look at the way the Whirl form has worked out, she just looks so, so exciting. I think she's going to be a very short price. I would definitely be running her in the Arc down the line, and I think that's a possibility. Aidan has never won the Arc with a 3-year-old filly. He has won it with Found, who was a four-year-old filly when he had the 1-2-3. But, you know, this race obviously looks hers to take. Strange stepping up after beating Scenic at Haydock takes the next step up to Group 1 company. But she's probably a horse, if you back her at a short price, she might give you a scare, but she seems to just do enough.
The Dunthorpe, as you say, on Friday, next Friday, we have at the moment Lady Iman is set to run in it. She's a two-year-old juvenile filly. She's won out every race that she's run over five, which this will be. She's all speed, Jer, Lions trains, kind of a good story. And no juveniles, filly that has won this race since 1992. So it's fascinating that she's favourite, really. She'd be a great winner.
I fascinating is one word. I mean, I had to look this up today. I was like, a two-year-old filly running a race like this is, I would have thought, like, it's asking so much. And it was Lyric Fantasy in 1992. I don't know if you remember that, JD. The last two-year-old was Kingsgate Native in 2007. I do remember that. And even at that time, you know, a two-year-old in his or her development, and in this case, her development, to be taken on hardened sprinters, it's kind of extraordinary. And what I love about it as well is, there's an interview in the Racing Post with Roger O'Callaghan of Tally Ho. Now, Tally Ho, Stand the Stallion, Starman, I think he's a first-season stallion by Dutch Art, who developed into a very good sprinter, but has done really well, and she's his sort of standard bearer so far. And Tally Ho, have time and time again, since Kodiak and all that, they've proven very shrewd. But in this instance, Roger O'Callaghan and his dad, who's obviously, you know, getting on a bit at this stage, he's kind of like, why not? But Ger Lyons is sort of, Ger Lyons, as is his want, is kind of on the record as saying, I'm not mad on runner. And I like that. It's like the owner is saying, I want a runner, and the trainer is saying, it's up to the owner, because I don't really want a runner, but he pays the bills. And that's exactly how it should be. The owner should dictate where the horse goes, because he or she pays the bills. The weight she gets, JD, is astronomical. The top horses in this have 9.13. She'll have 8 stone. So that's 27 pounds by virtue of her age and her sex. 27 pounds. Now, I have no idea what that means. I mean, I can't say, well, if she's getting 27 pounds, she should win. But whatever it is about whatever weight she gets, for a two-year-old filly to beat hardened sprinters in a race like this that she's had no experience of whatsoever would, for me, be extraordinary. And I can't believe she can be favourite. For all that, it's such a moderate renewal of the race in terms of where the sprinters are at. We've actually a bit of an Irish domination in terms of some of the horses at the top of the mark, because I think Arizona Blaze could well be a favourite if she isn't. And as well as that, Jack Davison, who became a father recently, has She's Quality, who could be third favourite.
She's been unlucky this year.
She has been lucky, but I'd still be delighted to be involved in her, because, you know, she's so reliable. She's finished second in two Group 3s and two Group 2s, and her form brings her into this. It's such an average renewal of the race. There's no, like, the sprinting division, we'll talk about a sprint two-year-old race, a listed race at the Curra that doesn't have a horse, I think, rated over 90 on Saturday. So the sprinting division is at a low ebb at the moment, but I can't make her favourite, surely not. Surely not. I don't know. I mean, it's obviously happened before. Why not give it a go? It doesn't sound like they're confident it'll work. Arizona Blaze is my hope for the race. You know, he's three, which, you know, I wouldn't necessarily be mad about. But the last day, Rumstar and Magiera were behind him, two British raiders in the Sapphire Stakes. He's very straightforward. Second at Royal Ascot as well in the group. That's the Group 1 form. Very, very straightforward horse would be my selection at this stage.
Yeah, the Ebor handicap on Saturday week, mile 6, you know, classic handicap. High Pop de Loire, as you say, an unlucky fifth in the race last year for William Mullins, is 8 years of age now. Ethical Diamond, the same stable, comes into this after winning over a mile and 4 Royal Ascot. Melbourne Cup might be the plan for him. A French Master is a handicap winner over the distance at Goodwood and Royal Ascot. Only 4, John and Teddy Gostin are top connections. London City is a lightly raced Aidan O'Brien source. That's just a few of them at the top of the market at the moment. Obviously, it'll form as things get closer to the post time.
So I tipped Hip Hop Delaware at Roscommon 2 runs back in a listed race over a mile and a half. And it just goes to show that even with Colin Keane riding for Willie Mullins, I'm virtually certain that Lenaban Stakes was not the be-all plan for this horse. And that's absolutely fair. But he was sent off 10 to 1 that day, rated 106. Even though, I said, how could he be 10 to 1 in an 11 horse race, rated 106? Unlucky the last time we saw him, Colin Keane riding for Willie Mullins. But it all makes sense. He's preparing him for this race. He wants to go back to win the Ebor after last year, and that was a stepping stone on his seasonal debut. Colin Keane rode him, even though he wasn't fully fit on the day, or wasn't certain to show his best. Colin Keane rode him because Colin Keane is probably mad to get on this horse because he had so much traffic in the race last year. I wasn't sure he'd get 2 mile 6 at Galway, and I was keen to oppose him over hurdles. He actually jumped really, really well. And he was brilliant on the day, and he's hard to oppose. But the problem is, JD, he's 3 pounds higher than last year, and everyone saw he was unlucky, but he's priced accordingly.
Yeah.
What are you liking it?
I don't know yet.
At this stage.
I'm not a fan of
London City's a fascinating runner. So Aidan, we spoke about Aidan.
That was one of the course.
One at the course, yeah, and that was, he actually looked very good on that occasion. Now, granted, he was rated 93, but I do wonder when he won at the course last year, would they then think we'll come back for this? Because certainly his race the last day behind Al Riffa, for me, sort of looking back in it, Ronan Whelan rode him, spoke to Ronan the other day, he's hoping to get some nice rides over the Champions weekend. It looks like that race was sort of a means to bring him on another bit, and he's by Justify, who has that very good Scandinavian, that very good 3-year-old stare. So he's an interesting horse off 104.
It's interesting how sometimes horses, their jumps form and their flat form can be completely different.
Yeah.
And Ethical Diamond has been probably promising but not delivering over hurdles.
Yeah.
Whereas one at Ascot last time, remember there was a horse called Rite of Passage, I think it was at Dermot Weld. Yeah. Couldn't do it at Cheltenham, and then won an Ascot Gold Cup, I think, or something, or a huge race.
Yeah, they are different disciplines in fairness, like, and they, I mean, O'Connor wasn't an especially good flat horse. He was just okay, but he was top class over hurdles. For me, in general, the really top class flat horses are thereabouts, don't make hurdlers, probably because they're kind of hard trained as well earlier in their life, but it's just not what they're designed for. But interestingly, Helvic Dream, who lost his appeal for Galway, I think on the one level I feel they should have appealed, on the other level I don't think they should have won the appeal, and that's what happened. But what a story if he were to win it off 101.
Yeah, interesting. That's the Ebor Saturday week. We also have lots of action this weekend. Let's start off with Los Angeles, because I'm looking at the Royal Whip Stakes, is what I should mention, Los Angeles for. No, the 327.
Yeah.
That's the Group 3.
Small fields in these races.
Yeah, 1 mile 2, good to firm in places. So Los Angeles of the Ark is the plan, and working back from that is what Aidan O'Brien has said. 4 years of age, Irish Derby winner, Tattersall's Gold Cup winner of the course and distance, should win this, surely.
I do wonder, does Aidan O'Brien have in his head, like, he'll win the Ark now, or he's my preferred horse in the Ark? Because if Ryan Moore had to pick between, say, the 3-year-old fillies and even Lamborn, and Los Angeles in the Ark, like, how can you tell what horse is better suited for the race when the 3-year-olds get such a weight for age allowance in a late season race that 3-year-old fillies have an exceptional record in the Ark, as do 3-year-olds. So I wonder, does he know? He never seems to be like shouting really loud that they're all going there necessarily. So, like, Los Angeles for me is a limited horse for all that he's rated 122. He has limitations.
He was there to win the race last year and it didn't happen.
Ran very well.
Didn't
happen. He's a really likeable horse to be involved in. He's put in 2 disappointing runs since. I wonder if Ascot the last day, he was sweating and the ground was so fast. I was keen to take him on, but I was still surprised he was beaten very, very early on. He still kind of kept on for pressure. He's a horse with a real Mon Dieu and I'm real. I remember bumping into him, Ballydoyle. There's a real kick to him there. It's like he's a hardy horse, but I don't know. William Hill have come in with very early prices here. I still think he'd probably win this. Yeah, he's even money, 11 to 10. I'd probably still take that. His run on overall form, he'd be very hard to beat here.
Zaran is an interesting 3-year-old, first season promising type, second in a Group 2 over Royal Ascot over 12 furlongs. Is 10 furlongs too sharp?
Yeah, I'm not sure how that'll work out. Rocket Cashel in the race, I'd say it won't be a bad gallop. I tip Zaran up at Royal Ascot. There's a big, big gamble on him. I think he was 7s into, 11 to 4 at the end, and he did so much right in the race. He sort of looked like he was beaten maybe half a mile out. Really, really stayed on and in behind a well-fancied winner. He's progressing very nicely, and he's obviously getting an 12 pounds off of Los Angeles, but Los Angeles has been there and done that. He's really, really solid at this level.
Yeah. Galen is in their course and this is winner, but form to find with Los Angeles.
Yeah, he definitely have a chance and sort of knows this place very well, but he's, as you say, the run behind Los Angeles in the Mooresbridge Stakes would give him no chance. And White Birch was second on that occasion. Not sure where he's going next, but obviously the ground would be an issue for him.
So the one I was mentioning, the St. Ledger Trial, a Group 3, 437, 1 mile 6, you have Puppet Master is interesting. I actually tipped him up in the Irish Derby, disappointing 9th. and rallied well to win the Lingfield trial before that. Bouncing back to his best, he's probably the one to beat. I mean, you've got Absurd in there, another horse could be going to the Melbourne Cup. Dallas Star was second in the Group 3 behind Illinois earlier this season over the distance. That would possibly put him in the picture. Leinster and Uxmal are two Just for Brian horses. Dylan Brown McMonagle rides Uxmal.
Yeah, I didn't expect Uxmal to be 12-1, but to be fair, when I was looking at this earlier, I was probably envisaging that Dylan Brown McMonagle would ride him over the 93-rated Leinster, which makes me wonder where Uxmal is, because he was beaten 7 lengths by Al Riffa the last year, but that wasn't that bad of a run. He hadn't run since the previous 13 months off the track, and I presume he's probably been prepped for like the Irish Ledger. But he's rated 108, which is the same as Absurd, and he's 12-1 relative to Absurd being 7-4. Absurd is a horse I kind of find a bit hard to get right. I was keen to take him on at York the last day, but on overall form, he's a big chance. And he could have plenty of options instead of coming here. He wasn't beaten far in the Melbourne Cup last year, and I presume that's the main plan. But Uxmal on overall form should no way be 12-1. And Puppet Master's evens, rated £3 lower than him, and has major stamina doubts in terms of what he's actually done so far.
I mean, the way he's rallying at the Lingfield trial, 1 mile 3.
That was this a mile 3.5. This is a mile and six, like a really, really tough mile and six, and ran disappointing in the, maybe not major stamina doubts, but he has to get a proper mile and six at the Curragh here. And Uxmal, for me, like, if he ran his race, he'd have a great chance. So you're kind of wondering why Dylan Brown McMonagle isn't riding him.
Absurd was beaten 31 lengths in the race last year. That would be a negative for him.
That was, if that's the race I'm thinking of, which Grosvenor Square, that was an extraordinary race. I think I tipped a Piece of Heaven who was making his stable debut. Grosvenor Square, that was an incredible race. He won by 20 lengths. And Absurd, who I think was coming off a break, was disappointing, but obviously he doesn't have that excuse now. His first run in 63 days.
We also have the Curragh on Saturday, 2:52. The Irish EBF listed race, 5 furlongs, good to Firmin Places. Jack the Bachelor and Kansas, are they the two that they've been kind of one and two the opposite way? They've been battling it out recently at Tipperary and Cork.
Yeah, this race is eye-catching for me in that, like, if you can't get a horse rated more than 92 for a listed race at the Curragh, I thought this was a bit odd. Now, maybe it's just where we're at and there are other horses who are not here, but 92, a lot of small fields in Ireland lately, and I thought I was disappointed in this. If you were to, I often kind of have this in my head, if I had my cousin over or somebody who was introduced to racing and you brought him to the betting shop, you have to explain why Jack Carney can't claim in a race like this and why Kansas is so better weighted relative to Jack the Bachelor from the run at Cork. It's like, well, he can't claim because it's a listed race and all of that. And now there's a weights differential because the last day Kansas had won previously and all. But basically what it means is that I think there's an £8 swing from Cork. £8 swing. So bringing Jack Carney's claim in a rated race of Cork, he had 9-3 and Kansas had 9-11. So £8 is a lot. Level weights. Kansas was favourite that day. He's a strange horse because he's still keen in his races. Needs a good gallop, but I'd be with him. Ryan Moore taking over as well. I think he hasn't ridden him before, actually.
Ibane McQueen was an easy winner of her maiden over six at the Curragh and then second in the fillies race at Nace.
Yeah, second to Havana Anna, who's very, very smart. Probably might be vulnerable out in front, but definite chance.
And then Rosie Firth is a 20-1 winner, dropping back in trip at Cork over 5 furlongs last time out. And she's got maybe an each way chance at the distance, receiving £5 as well.
Yeah, it was only rated 61 then, but well worth a shot in this. And intriguing to see Tetra Rouge.
Yeah, 78 grand purchase.
Yeah, and was behind Kansas and Jack the Bachelor at Tipperary, but that wasn't a bad start at all. And this hasn't been priced up yet, but I'd love to see how they price it because it will be interesting.
Fourth at Tipperary could be an improver for that, you'd have to think.
Yeah, and like Gavin Cromwell isn't the type to run horse unless he thinks they have a realistic chance. And Black Type at the very least is very possible. It's just a surprise to me we've only 7 runners for a race of this nature.
He was talking about, I know the way you're thinking during the week, the Cheltenham Gold Cup winner, very happy with the way the horse is going, and it's going to be a similar campaign to last season.
Yeah, he looks the sort of horse that, I know he's not, he can make the odd mistake, but he looks the most obvious sort of just back of Mantibus to Gold Cup. He's 100% going to be trained for that race. He's brilliant at Cheltenham. I think he was pretty much the only winner I tipped up at Cheltenham this year, but yeah, he's going to provide his connections with a lot of fun.
And we also have a Newbury on Saturday, a couple of group races. So the Geoffrey Freer Stakes is at 150 over a mile, 5.5. Good to firm ground, 6 runners. Ambiente Friendly, I think, has gone off the map, to be honest. Has been gelded now. Doesn't appear to be the horse that was second in the Derby last year. If it was, it would win. Epic Poet was uninterested in me. 6 years of age now. Distance is fine. Second in the Yorkshire Cup Stakes behind Rebels Romance. Steffi puts him in the frame here for me.
Yeah, this is an intriguing contest for Group 3. Ambiente Friendly, as you say, JD. I mean, this time last year, we were talking about him taking on
City of Troy
and sent off 13-2. And ever since then, he's finished last, second last, last, eighth, and second last. I don't know what's gone on with him. Kind of you're clutching at straws here. I suppose the Goodwood run wasn't too bad, and he's been put in here at 11-1. So if you're taking a chance on the old Ambiente Friendly, he's definitely a chance here. By absolute contrast, Pinhole is progressing, and he's a Frankel colt who Colin Keane will ride for the second time. He rode him behind Carmers in the Queen's Vase of Royal Ascot, when notably he was sent off a short price and proved that he was sort of well handicapped at Ascot. But this will be difficult. Your horse, for all that he's a 6-year-old, he's very, very solid this type of level. I'd probably go with Pinhole, the progressive horse in the race, but tricky little contest.
Ross Ryan described Pinhole as a baby. Mm. How much time does it take for a horse to develop from a baby into not a baby?
Yeah, I suppose it depends on who trains him as well. And he's by Frankel. Frankel horses can be can definitely be a little bit of their mind, as well, how one trainer put it. But he's had 5 runs at this stage, and he's already had 2 group races as well, including behind Lambert and Chester. So Rafe Beckett knows how to train.
The Hungerford Stakes at Newbury, 7 furlongs, good to firm, 335, 10 runners. This is competitive. Rage of Bambi was a 33-1 winner over the course, over 6 last time out. We also had in that race a horse that I liked here. King's Gamble was almost out for a year and was 2nd in that race. Definitely more to come, you'd have to think, from that horse. Witness Stand is up £8 for winning at Goodwood at a price of 25-1. More Thunder is a very consistent handicapper from the Wokingham and the Bunbury Cup win. Yeah, and Spy Chief was only 3nd over the distance in the Group 3 at Royal Ascot, and has got top connections. Juju First is, of course, and distance winner.
Yeah, William Hill is 4-1 on King's Gambit. He's actually 6-1 elsewhere. I'd be more with William Hill. He's not won over 7 furlongs, but he's form over a mile. He's very, very solid. A versatile horse by Kingman. Like you, JD, I'd be very interested in him. I don't see any
King's
negatives.
Gamble, yeah.
King's Gamble, yeah. And like second one, the last one behind Rage of Bambi at Newbury was noted for the fact that Regional was 3rd. It was a really, really solid horse. And King's Gamble, given that he was coming off long, long layoff on that occasion, I thought that was a really good run. He was like the horse to take out of the race, stayed on well. And I'm quite surprised. Like, he came to York as a 2-year-old, and he's coming back for his first visit since. But I'd be all over that 6-1. He's not that price of the sponsor now, but if you can get 6-1, I think that's well worth a bet.
Any other races interesting you? I see there's like Ripon has got a handicap there as well. Tomorrow, the Great Wilfred handicap. Just looking at the prices of this one, because we're going to get the William Hill view on it. But Rousey and Encore, 5-1. Rock Opera, 15-2 with a Secret Guest. Mr. Sox, 9-1. Kodiak Thriller, 11s. Al Zahir, 11-1. Very competitive. Bit of money for Nostrum in that race. The Wilfred handicap at Ripon. You know, when you're like watching the flat during the summer, like, would you be watching all these kind of courses from England? There's so many courses, there's so many meetings. Or do you have ones that you enjoy?
Yeah, I don't tend to watch the British racing unless it were sort of the Saturdays or the bigger days, or the festival. So, but yeah, like Ripon's another northern track that's supposed to be really a nice visit. And like it is, you know, JD, like visiting racetracks in Britain is kind of different to Ireland. There's a different buzz there, particularly around the flat, where it's much more entrenched in their kind of makeup. And that struck me at York. It's the flat racing over there is very it's there so long, but it still attracts massive crowds that we could really only dream about here. But I do love watching good flat racing in Britain. And at the moment, I suppose a lot of the good horses are kind of, Ger Lyne spoke of this, a lot of the good horses are leaving these shores for other countries because there's more money out there, and that's kind of a necessary evil. But at the moment, it's very interesting to see that the premier sires are in Britain. But we're kind of getting there, I think, with some of the Irish ones now.
Yeah, we also had Goodwood and Galway recently. Did you pick anything out of Galway or Goodwood?
I thought the son of any power, the one was the first race of Galway.
Davy Crockett,
yeah. Kind of a memorable name and I couldn't remember it. I thought he was really, really good. I spoke to Tom Malone, we were on subsequently about this. That race was now on the 29th. The 28th, just looking back on it here, because the mistake that he made at the second last, I was surprised. I tipped up the runner-up each way, Mick Collins, who's a solid horse. And Davy Crockett at the second last, you could see him kind of shuffle back. But he ended up winning by 2.5 lengths, not really fully extended. And he's a fascinating pedigree. I know he's a half-brother to Galileo bred horse?
Mystical Power.
But he just might be, for a horse who'd never jumped a hurdle before, I thought that was a tough challenge for him out, even against four-year-olds. And he looks very exciting. I'd be tempted to have a few quid in him for the Supreme at this stage.
Supreme Novices Hurdle at Cheltenham next year, because Mystical Power was second in it.
Yeah.
Behind Slade Steel, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Maybe Mystical Power became a bit disappointed. I actually tipped him at Cheltenham. I think he went wrong this year. But he looks very exciting for a horse to do that with no experience and smash everything else was quite noteworthy.
Unusual place to start as well, if you're going to be a champion to start at Galway. What's it Dermot Well did, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah, Go Native won at Galway. There are definitely some hurdlers who won around Galway. And obviously the Novice Chase later in the year can be a really hot race for you to Cheltenham. But it'll give him a good prep. Like that race will stand to him massively. He was obviously inexperienced, but I like Davy Crockett.
Yeah. Was he some kind of comic book or something, or is he?
Let's answer this Crockett, because let's answer this Crockett while we're here, because I couldn't know the answer either. Davy Crockett was an American politician, militia officer, and frontiersman.
Right,
would not have known that.
I thought it was a comic or something. Like
there
that.
We go.
Sam Norris and William Hill, how are you?
Afternoon, Johnny. I'm good. Thank you. Yourself?
You're not bad. Thanks, Sam. So, look, where's the most money going, I suppose, over the last few days in terms of this Saturday? Or like odds are coming out, declarations are coming out today. So what are you seeing money for at the moment?
Yeah, looking ahead to this weekend, kind of key races we've been betting on, Anti-Post, you've got the Group 2 Hungerford at Newbury, for which More Thunder has been a very warm order. It was 5-1 at the start of the week, is into 5-2, I think just gone 11-4 actually in the last few moments now. So More Thunder is a bit of a bogey in the book. We're not too worried at this stage. The traders continue to be happy enough to be a layer of More Thunder. He produced a pretty remarkable performance last time around to just get up on the line in his latest race, but we maybe feel that the market has just kind of overreacted to that a little bit. You know, when a horse does something like that and it looks so visually impressive, they maybe go off a point or two shorter than they ought to on their next start. So after getting up in dramatic fashion in the Bunbury Cup last time around, all of his form is at Newmarket, happy to lay this horse, but he has been one that, you know, punters have been very keen to get with. And it's William Hill Grace and Wilfred Day at Ripon as well.
Yeah.
It's actually our longest standing sponsorship, this race. It's a race that we've sponsored. Yeah, a race that we've sponsored for longer, continually anyway, than any other. So race we've had an association with for a long time. It's actually a big charity endeavour for the company this year, which is great. We're donating all profits from the race to the MND Association. There's going to be, you know, presidents, people from the charity there on the day, etc. So great to be able to give something back in that regard. You're also getting five places each way on the race. So unlike, you know, races like the Britannia, which again is another real good charity endeavour come Royal Ascot, but you don't get the props as a punter with that being a charity race. This week you do. So it's kind of win-win. You've got five places if you want to bet each way. If you win, you win. That's great. If you don't win, money goes to a good cause rather than in the pockets of those nasty bookmakers for once. So, yeah, we're looking forward to that. The movers in the race have been Secret Guest, who's 10-1 from 14-1. Actually, gone a bit shorter than that now. And Grant Wood is the other loser in the book for the William Hill Grace and Wilfred. But thrilled to be able to give something back in that race this year.
Well done. As a Secret Guest, money for him. Andrew Breslin riding for Brian Smart. And Grant Wood, Aidan Brooks riding for Paul Midgley.
Grant Wood is very interesting because won the silver trophy last year at Ripon, and the fact that he had his prep there for Paul Midgley would scream to me that this has been the plan. And yeah, he's actually come down a little bit in the weights as well. Fascinating renewal, and that's a lovely, MND is such an amazing cause to get involved in, and that's a lovely thing that the money is going to research there.
So there's money I see for Novello Lad is popular enough in the Silver Cup as well at Ripon on Saturday, Sam?
Yeah, another race that that was sponsored on the day, and you're right, Novello Labs has been the best backed of any horse in that race. Another one for Paul Midgley. Comes into it in half-decent form, you know, two wins from his last three starts, the most recent of them just 10 days ago. So it could be a half-decent afternoon for Paul Midgley. He's got one or two fancied runners across the card. This horse, with the current weight of cash, looks like he might be going off favourite at the moment. Fortum Moore is favourite in our book at 11-2, but if it continues like it has done through the course of this morning, Novello Lad will be going off fab for that kind of secondary feature race on the Ripon card.
You've gone for even money on Puppet Master in the Irish St Ledger trial at the Curragh on Saturday.
Yeah, which, if recent history is anything to go by, could be a gift for punters. 9 of the last 10 favourites of this race have gone in, which is quite a big sample size. And for 9 of them to have won over the years, it's seldom a race that attracts a massive field, obviously. But we are one of the favourites. We've obviously got a tremendously good record in Puppet Master. He was all the rage. He was really, really well backed when he won the Derby trial at Lingfield. He obviously came up short in the classic itself, where he ran in the Irish Derby, didn't he, behind Lambourne after that. Maybe looking to repackage him as a horse who goes over further now. He's a son of Camelot who got his heart broken in the Ledger, but stayed the Ledger trip. So there might be more to come from him over a mile 6. Absurd's obviously just been a phenomenal horse, dual purpose, globe trotter, can do a bit of everything. Absurd, he would not be a shock winner at all at 7-4, just because I don't know if there's anything Absurd can't be competitive in. So you respect him, but the record of the favourites in this race would point toward Puppet Master. And we did throw up an ambitious 6-5 for our first price on this horse. That was quickly hoovered up.
And then Los Angeles is 11-10 for the Royal Whip, which is an interesting price for a Derby winner.
Yeah, it's potentially going to be a very popular double on the day, and these two might end up a fair bit shorter than they are currently, particularly when we get those kind of day of race bets. And you're getting 11-10, obviously, because he disappointed last time around. I know it was a freakish performance from Ombudsman in the Prince of Wales Stakes, but there's no question that Los Angeles ran well below himself. I mean, he's got a rating of 122. He's probably, one of the highest rated, if not the best older horses in training. His form, prior to the disappointment at Ascot, had been top notch this year, winning a couple of races in Ireland, obviously back at the Curragh track where he excels. You're right, that 11-10 could look extremely tempting if he's over whatever ailed him at Ascot. It seemed to be too bad to be true on that day. For all Ombudsman was incredibly impressive. 3 3-year-olds take him on. The one that's most likely to put it up to him, according to the punters, is Zahran, who's 6-4, shorten that one up from 7-4. Zahran is unexposed compared to the other 3-year-olds. Only had the 4 starts, 2 wins and 2 second placed efforts. Just touched off in the King Edward at Royal Ascot. So more to come from him, perhaps. But yeah, if Los Angeles was, coming into this race having not ran at Ascot, he would be 2-3 on, maybe. So the 11-10 might just be construed value.
What about York? Any early money for anything next week?
Yeah, we've got a bit of a surprise loser in the book for the Ebor, actually, at the moment. Obviously, a lot of cash to be placed on that race before it actually jumps off. But Majestic Warrior is currently our worst result in the big handicap of the week, which was not exactly the horse that I expected the traders to be throwing my way. He's still available at 20-1, Majestic Warrior, but we've laid bigger prices than that. The Fav would be a bad result as well, Hip-Hop de Loire, but that's obviously less surprising. She's Quality and Sayadar Darian would be the losers in the Nunthorpe. And good old Kinross in the City of York, obviously promoted to Group 1 status now, that race. He is kind of, one of the biggest 7 furlong specialists in the land, Kinross. So he would be a negative result at York for sure. But yeah, looking forward to it. Great week on the Knavesmire. It's usually, fingers crossed, a meeting where we can get a bit of a result. Tough punting track for many is York, but a surprise to see the money for Majestic Warrior.
That's a James Tate trained horse, Majestic Warrior, in the Ebor. And this horse won last time out over a mile and a half at Thirsk by 4.5 lengths. Only run 4 times and won 3 times. Interesting. So lightly raced horse, only 5 years of age. So obviously the feel at the yard, maybe, or among connections, that it's a progressive type. Johnny Ward, we have your charity bet for this week on the Racing Pod. You can go 50 on the nose or you can go 25 each way. Something for Saturday, something for Beyond at York, something anti-post. You're going to back Lady in, man, are you?
Yeah, after all of that. Two-year-old filly running in the Nunthorpe, Sam. That's, yeah, I find that's going to be an interesting race in terms of how they price it. I'm going to go 12 nifties on Uxmal in the Curra. Now, this is a bit chancy.
25 each way.
No, I go on the win. On the nose.
You're going to go on the nose?
50 win, yeah. It's five runners. If he runs his race, there's no way he's a 12-1 shot. Now, the chance are, looking at the betting, I'm not sure he will run his race. But his comeback run was perfectly satisfactory. Uxmal, 4.37 at the Curra.
This is on Saturday. Uxmal for Joseph O'Brien and Johnny Ward. 12-1 on the nose. That is bravery on the Racing Pod this week from Johnny. But there's obviously a lot of science behind it as well. So Uxmal, 4.37 Saturday. Johnny Ward's charity bet here on the Racing Pod. Thanks to William Hill this week. Sam Lawrence, thanks so much, man.
Thanks, guys.
Johnny, thanks, man. And best of luck with Uxmal.
Hopefully he outruns his odds.
Okay. We'll speak to you next Friday. That was the Racing Pod for this week. We're back next Friday.
The Racing Pod on Off the Ball with William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.